Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you on this All Saints Day. It's a Faith and Family Friday, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Carrie. Hey, dear.
Hey, Tom.
Carrie, I think we should talk about my 60th birthday party next week. That should be the whole theme of the program.
You're sounding like your wife.
Oh,
Your celebrations
we're not gonna
extend
do that.
For a week.
We are not going to do that. We're going to talk about becoming holy on All Saints Day, and we'll revisit what we did to make Halloween, All Hallows Eve, a blessing for the people around us, and also what we can do to be preparing for next Tuesday. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're going to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. I thank you and praise you for the gift of the saints. And I pray that today they would be for us an inspiration. They would be for us encouragement. They would be for us a source of intercession, that we would long for holiness, strive for holiness, and grow in holiness. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the saints and for the call to join them, and to strive to be the saints that will make a difference in our own realm, in our own places, each in our own way, Lord, in accord with your will. And we make this prayer in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Carrie, it's All Saints Day. It's a holy day of obligation. And one of the things that I would say in a cutesy manner through the years, and say to the kids, yeah, it's not a holy day of obligation. It's a holy day of opportunity. And a holy day of opportunity, well, you know, that means you don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. That didn't really work. I think it worked the first time on my kids. And then they were like, yeah, we know, Dad. We don't have to go. We get to go. We don't have to do it. We get to do it. And I think that there's something deeper that goes on when I use the phrase opportunity. And I only came to realize that in association with the Camino, walking that path, that about 500-mile journey, and the impact that it would end up having on my life, I didn't feel like it was a divine must. I don't feel like God commanded me to go on the Camino, but rather it was a discerned opportunity. And I think that that's not something that I've focused on a lot in my own life of faith. The idea that the Lord gives us opportunities. It's like he lays before us a path, kind of like the road less traveled, and that we can continue to walk on that road that we travel and in our lives of faith, or the Lord is saying, I have something for you. If you are willing to undertake it, if you're willing to undergo it, if you're willing to press on and enter it, there is a newness. Or again, the great phrase that I've started to use in describing the total picture of the Camino, a path to a gracious disruption. A gracious disruption. And that's in fact what happened on the Camino. It was an opportunity the Lord gave to me. Well, he gave to us, right?
To you. Yeah. Wait, I had a different path. I had a different gracious disruption.
You had a different gracious disruption, but you shared in it.
Yeah.
There was no way I could have done this if you didn't support me and encourage me and even hold me accountable along the way to be able to get the space to be able to take this path, this journey, this path. And I think that's a very relevant theme to use to describe All Saints Day, that the saints aren't just these distant, holy men and women that we think of in, artistic pictures and paintings and holy medals and statues and icons. But no, they are for us a standard that we can pursue, we can strive for. It's a path we can take, but sometimes that path involves more of an opportunity than a divine requirement.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm distracted by a text.
You see, this is what happens in our life of faith. Well, you know, it's the kids from Franciscan University, right?
Yes, they have a break right now. So some of the friends came out to visit them and it's a holiday weekend for them, which I'm not sure why it falls right now, but.
All Saints Day. I don't know. Yeah. It's nice that some Catholic schools don't actually have school on a holy day of obligation.
I've never heard of that, but I know that Chesterton also does not have school today.
Yeah.
So my kids are not complaining. I'll just say that.
Well, Annalise.
Or the teachers.
Yeah. The two that are not at a Catholic school, but at a Christian school, they do have school today.
And they celebrate, should I even say it?
Say it out loud.
Reformation
Day. And I think, oh, isn't it fitting that Reformation Day falls on Halloween, right? Not on All Hallows Eve, right? Halloween. Yeah. I don't even know where that came from.
But. I don't know either. They're trying. They try to like just do holidays and fit in different celebrations. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Anyhow, what you're saying, Tom, you know, maybe you don't have this huge interruption of 40 days, but maybe you can do 4 days. I know they're like this weekend is this Ignatius retreat at the Sacred Heart Retreat Center, just for 4 days.
You mean
days.
The Immaculate Heart Retreat Center?
Yes.
Okay.
What did I say?
On the South Hill. You said the Sacred, we're on Sacred Heart Radio, but it's the Immaculate Heart Retreat Center.
Anywho's. Yeah, so maybe just 3 days, 4 days, not 40 days.
Right. And it's being led by a Jesuit priest, Father Puthoff. And he might want to make you put off going on a retreat. No, that was bad. No, that didn't work. I interviewed him last year when he did this Ignatian retreat, and I enjoyed the interview so much, but unfortunately we couldn't arrange an interview with him. He was out of the country. And so had a very narrow window for when we could promote the retreat. But I really hope that folks heard about it. There's so many like wonderful events. Do you know who's coming there in November?
No.
Is Father Ricardo, Father John Ricardo. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's coming. He's actually going to be speaking at St. They had to choose a bigger place. So he's at St. Joseph's in Otis Orchard.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's sold out.
Oh.
Sorry, dear. It's sold out. However, we're in. We got in. Yay. So, yeah, but what a beautiful thing that that they're doing there to help foster faith in the local area. A retreat is like an opportunity. I think that's a really good point. That are we taking steps that are out of the ordinary course of our daily lives to access a door that God is opening to us, but we still have to walk through it, right? I think here's one, coming back from the Camino, I really wanted to continue the graces that I had received,
yeah.
Right? There were these habits that had been established in me. And one of the commitments that I had made is I'm going to go to Mass every day. And I've not done well with that. And this past week, I've been reflecting a lot on humility as this virtue, as this grace that the Lord wants to grow in me. And yeah, of course, how many times have we reflected on humility through the years? Quite a bit. And I thought I had it kind of mastered, you know?
I get it.
Yeah, you got that? Yeah. But there's a new, there's a subtle shift in my own experience of humility, where I am coming before the Lord daily and essentially bringing him my concerns. And what I mean specifically is this, is that when I miss Mass, it's not because I don't want to go to Mass. It's not because I live so far away from a mass that I couldn't access it. It's that I'm so busy doing other things that it gets crowded out. And what I have been challenged with through the readings and prayer that I've done this week is to not let that happen and instead go before the Lord with the very things that I would have been working on and saying, all right, Lord, I'm coming to you in all humility saying, Lord, you do this work. I'm going to be here to pursue you in obedience. And I'm going to humbly say, I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the capacity to somehow just simply be more efficient or work longer and somehow get all this stuff done. So I'm going to make sure that I don't miss out on being with you at Mass and worshiping you. And I'm going to surrender into your hands these other parts of my life, and I'm going to let you take over. I'm going to say, I can't do it all. So I'm going to make sure that if I can't do it all, I'm going to at least take that time to be with you at Mass. And that's, I don't think I've ever prayed like that before.
No, I don't think I've heard that before.
Yeah. So it's just an expression of humility. That's all it is. It's just an expression of humility, but in a slightly different mode.
St. John Newman says from the Magnificat, my God, you are my life. If I leave you, I cannot but thirst. But I, my God, wish to thirst for you with a better thirst. I wish to be clad in that new nature, which so longs for you from loving you as to overcome in me the fear of coming to you. I come to you, O Lord, not only because I am unhappy without you, not only because I feel I need you, but because your grace draws me on to seek you for your own sake, because you are so glorious and beautiful.
That's a powerful quote. And it's actually, again, a theme that has shown up recently in some of what I've talked about. It actually is reminiscent of a quote that I took from St. Bonaventure's book on the soul's journey into God. So that idea of journey.
Yes.
And he says that Bonaventure says that prayer begins when you become a man of desires. That was, it's taken from Daniel. Daniel was a man of desires. And he says these desires have there's two sides to the coin of a man of desires. And it's the two sides of the coin that you just heard in that prayer. Mm-hmm. Can you tease out what they are?
Well, one is I can't, only you can. And then
coming out of your need, coming out of your brokenness. He talks about groaning in prayer. So that's one form of desire.
And then the other is because of his love and his inspiring mercy, goodness, kindness that you come from.
Yeah, yearning.
Sense of strength or a sense of
longing.
Longing.
I long for you. You're so beautiful.
Wait, are you impressed?
I got Carrie, it too. You did it. You did
it's
a great
very
job.
Rare.
Well done, dear.
But I don't like to live in the first one. And that's where I feel like I struggle the most. Even when I need to go to confession, I went to confession the other night. And even this sense of, am I truly sorry for what I've done? Am I truly, like, I know it was wrong, or I know I did things that didn't honor God or honor my siblings or honor my family members,
your husband. That was like, well, way too far down on the list.
That's what the priest said. Wait, where's your husband?
Yes, all this? Thank you, Jesus.
He did not.
Thank you. He didn't.
No. Oh, darn it. He did give me the penance of praying an Our Father and Hail Mary for
37 times
for all my family.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was a lot, but anyhow, which I don't mind. It was good. I resist saying I'm sorry if I don't really feel contrite or contrition. It's like, so then sometimes I just pray that as I go through the confession, I feel or experience a real sorrow, a real sadness. And it's not that I'm not sad I did what I did. I just feel powerless to not do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, I feel sad. And I said that to the priest. I said, I'm sharing all this with you, but I just feel sad that I don't feel there's a remedy, or I have the strength to overcome it. I'm going to lose my temper again, that kind of thing. Or, you know, I'm not going to have daily prayer like I desire.
Well, I know you've been listening to Sound Insight because I've been talking about the remedy for confessing sins and not finding the strength to overcome them. You know what that is? It's actually, what was the, okay, I walked on the Camino, and what was I? I was a pilgrim, and I was walking a path of prayer and
penance.
Thank you. Penance. And the multifaceted diamond of penance involves, I think I'm up to like 9 facets of penance. One of them is penitence. You do penance because you're so sorry for your sins. Well, guess what? If you start doing penance, you will begin to feel.
Just talk about being unequally yoked. Can we just start there? Can we just?
Penance uproots sins. All right. If you're having trouble uprooting sins, you got to do more penance. And there was another facet that I had not focused on, and that was you do penance to weaken demonic influence on your life. I like that one.
Are you saying I'm possessed? Oppressed?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying that the devil is definitely going to want to attack you if you're going to strive for holiness, if you're going to like fulfill that prayer of St. John Henry Newman, which it's so interesting that...
Do you know this? Wait, do you know this quote I just did?
No, I never heard it.
Oh, it's really good.
Well, what's striking about it is he is kind of a... He's often a dry writer, right? He's incredibly learned, and he's a scholar. And so a lot of his theology doesn't have a, let's say, a tinge or an aspect that is very affective, right? So there isn't a lot of language of desire or emotion, like an emotional dimension. And so I found that somewhat like refreshing.
I was going to say that word.
Yeah?
Yeah, because what I've read from him is poignant and to the point. And I like that because you kind of get in your spiritual life or you go along in your journey and it, you just kind of want it cut and dry.
Yeah.
I do, anyhow.
Rather than having like a flowery, or you mean, are you saying this is cut and dried?
Yeah, I think this is.
Yeah. Oh, nice. All right. Well, Carrie, we're actually up against a break. When we come back, I want to dig into that a little bit more, and we'll then continue on because I know we want to talk about a lot of other things today on the program. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, on this All Saints Day, one of the big things that you brought out in that quote from St. John Henry Newman is this idea of desire. And desire means striving. It means that we haven't yet arrived. It means there's still a path to fulfillment that we must walk, right? And that's very much a Camino thing, right? Seek his face. It's also really at the heart of the approach to growth and holiness that's at the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame with the patron saint. Do you know the patron saint of the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame is? Well, besides our Blessed Mother.
No.
It's Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? And what's his big thing?
Yeah, to the heights.
L'alto, right? Verso l'alto, to the heights. Right? Don't just settle for being at the ground level, but strive for the heights. And that's typically going to be a difficult path and journey. Mm-hmm. And this is the time of year that's my favorite. And you know why it's my favorite?
Baseball playoffs. Sorry,
Carrie.
Yankees. Hold on.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. The Dodgers won. I never thought I'd be so excited about a team from LA winning
a
championship.
How many mistakes they made in that last game?
Carrie?
Okay, it was like so they were cursed. That was a curse.
It was. They lost 4-1, but the only reason they lost was the fifth inning. Okay, now you have to know they had their best pitcher, Gerrit Cole, the Yankees pitching. He had not given up a hit into the fifth inning. All right, so he has a no-hitter going, and they're up 5-0. It's in New York, right? So it's 3-1 they're losing in the series, 3-1. Fifth inning, so they're halfway through the game, and they're up 5-0, and their best pitcher is throwing a no-hitter. Okay, what happens? Well, they end up having the first three batters make it on base. Now, the first guy, so in the end, folks, the Dodgers won. The Dodgers won in Yankee Stadium, which is so sweet. Sorry, guys, it was so sweet. But
this is from a Red Sox fan.
I went to YouTube and I found a video of the fifth inning.
That was the best.
I just watched the whole thing.
You could watch like three
it was
times.
21 minutes
slow motion.
Long, 21 minutes long. And I said, I'm going to just watch the fifth inning. Oh, so I sat down. If I had a beer, I would have had a beer. Okay. It was that good. So I sat down and the first guy, he hits a real single. He gets on base. The second guy gets up and he hits this blooper into center field. And Aaron Judge, I love saying the name out loud, the guy who's going to be the MVP of the American League.
Paid ridiculous amount of money.
Well, he's an amazing hitter and player.
Yeah.
He comes up and he, I would have caught it. And he was going to catch it and he wanted to like throw out the guy on first base and he ends up dropping the ball. And the guy sprints to second and he makes it just in time. So it's first and second, nobody out. All right. The next batter hits a ground ball to the shortstop. And the shortstop is heading towards the third baseman. He fields the ball, but the guy that's on second is running really fast. So he hurries his throw and ends up throwing it into the dirt. I'm going to go play by play here. I had the whole
thing. You were on Catholic radio. This is ESPN part
and
two.
So he makes a bad throw, and now it's the bases loaded with nobody out. But it's Gerrit Cole. And he strikes out the next two batters. So there's two outs, fifth inning, and the commentators are saying, wow.
That was close.
That was a close one. Boy, was he fortunate to get through that. And then it just, the wheels come off the bus. The guy hits a single and that brings in a run. Then the next guy hits this little dribbler down the first baseline and the pitcher is supposed to cover and he didn't cover. And so the guy ran and he beat the first baseman. It didn't even try to run him out. So now there's another run that comes in and it goes on like that. It goes on like that where there were just
multiple
terrible attempts. Terrible plays.
Wow.
Four of them.
It really feels like they're cursed, like something.
Oh no, it was God.
It was God. The other team was blessed.
Yes, that the Dodgers were blessed. Well, they were blessed because Mookie Betts was on the team. Mookie Betts used to play for the
Red Sox. Everything goes back to the Red Sox.
Okay, so
Pierre Giorgio.
Oh, that was so good.
Do you feel really good?
I feel awesome. talking about that.
You could be this excited about faith, right?
About the Lord.
You are that excited.
Well, this is like, it's a spiritual attack thing, right? So anywho, so they ended up getting five runs. So they tied it up in the fifth inning and then they ended up winning.
You know, what's weird is we've not watched any of the baseball playoffs.
Right.
I mean, it's all been on YouTube or like post game. Is that so wonderful?
I watched more of the first round of the WNBA playoffs than I did of the entire set of playoffs in World Series of Major League Baseball.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Why?
Caitlin Clark. Caitlin.
Now,
Caitlin.
And guess what? I have no idea who won anything in the WNBA after that.
Yes.
Because as soon as her team lost, guess what? And everybody else stopped watching.
Everyone could stand. You can't stand the gal players. Oh my goodness. Anyhow.
This is good. It's all Saints
Day. Is this good?
So Striving for the Heights, basketball. Well, I was going to say the weather is what I enjoy the most about the fall is Indian summer is what we call it in Boston.
Well, I don't think we have that here. It doesn't get up to 75. I've been watching the weather in Ohio, specifically Steubenville, and they get 70, 75 right now.
Yeah.
Where here, where we live, it's not going to get above 60.
Oh, it's just, I have so many great memories of just having a sweatshirt on
and then
in the backyard, just the leaves falling from the trees and just the beautiful and playing football with my buddies in the backyard.
I'm just happy if it doesn't snow before October 1st.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's crazy.
I know.
Not even say it
out
loud.
Let's not talk about cold.
But great news is volleyball season is over and basketball season is about to be here. It's already reached our home. Right. You've caught me now once or twice at my laptop watching games from last year. So Carrie, you're shaking your head. I'm the girls varsity basketball coach at the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame. And I'm excited. Well, and I'm excited not only because, you know, our daughter's on the team and, you know, we're going to play challenging games, but I'm excited because of the opportunity I have to coach these young ladies. And
can I just stop you?
Yeah.
What were we talking about last week?
I don't know.
Lots of things. So we talked about how we can look at an organization or a church or an event and look back at it and say, it should have done this, that, and the other thing, or be more strategic. And then do you remember that?
No, that's okay.
Goodness. So then I said, why are we not as strategic about our own family life and about our own marriage as we are about basketball season? Like if we get so excited.
I wonder I didn't remember. I kind of blocked that out. I think I was like traumatized by what you said. I just felt convicted or something.
No, I'm just thinking. I'm really great at looking at something and saying it would have been really neat if this, that, or the other thing happened. And looking like at an event or something. And then I was convicted and I thought, why don't I take that same kind of look at our own life or at our own home life or at our own marital relationship and not necessarily apply that, but just kind of ponder and pray with and think about, Lord, what do you want to do in this relationship or in this home? Now, of course, there's the basic things of, okay, they're not basic. I mean, they're profound.
I realized last time you went down this path, I went on the Camino, right? Are you sure you want to do this again?
I think this is why you went on the Camino. You're like, oh, Lord. No, I'm just wondering where that enthusiasm and excitement and drive for excellent faith family life comes from. The same kind of enthusiasm I see in your desire for the kids to play sports or be the coach. And it's not that, I mean, that's a wonderful thing, but it would be really awesome if in our life, we find that same kind of passion and energy around our own family faith life or our own personal faith life.
All right. So I got a call yesterday from a mom and a wife and a mother, and she listens to this radio program and she has heard the stories about us making the move. From Seattle to here. So that's 5 years. And she was calling. She said, I just have to talk to you. She said, I don't know exactly what I'm asking, but let me just tell you the story. And she said, just let me talk for a little bit. And then you figure out why am I calling you? All right. And she just started talking a bit about this. I think probably the word was discontent. That she was disconcerted with what was happening in her parish. She has a number of friends and they homeschool. They have a number of friends who love the Lord, love their faith, and they homeschool together. And so they have this like core group of very solid Catholic fellowship. But there was just like, there's something missing. And unfortunately, it was, let's call it the container that she was living it in. And the container was the wider community and the parish beyond her group of friends. And she was like, I've come over to Spokane and Northern Idaho several times in the past couple of years, and with my husband, and we've been trying to discern, is this where we should be? But then it was, well, our family is here and our friends are here and our nephews and nieces are here, but there's something still, like there's a bee in my bonnet and I can't figure it out. So we ended up talking for a half an hour, and so they're going to be moving now to Spokane.
That's not true. No. So your point about what I'm sharing about relating it to basketball and the fervor and the excitement and the natural, easy kind of, I think this is the thing I was reading earlier about the quote I made is, it says, my God, you are my life. If I leave you, I cannot but thirst. It's like, there's no other path forward. And yet in the midst of the struggle and trying to live out being holy and loving and serving, there is this level of human lack or discontent or suffering.
Okay. I'm going to give you a scripture.
And I don't.
Now, hold on. I'm going to give you a scripture and you're going to get your answer. All right. I'm going to read the second half of the scripture and you're going to tell me the first half. The second half of the scripture is keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of our faith. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of our faith. What's the first part of that scripture? Persevere in
good and running the race.
Thank you.
Well,
Hebrews 12:2.
So that's what, and that is what I'm mentioning. This is that persevering, that staying with it, that the hope, the enthusiasm, the joy, that takes just an incredible amount of singular focus on Him. And I just sense that it's so easy to fall to the left or
take our eyes off
well,
Jesus.
It's not turn around. It's kind of go to the left or the right. It's
right.
It's not this, I'm not following the Lord. It's just, I'm following Him half-heartedly or when it suits me or if it fits into my schedule. And I think, yeah.
Well, you remember, I'm going to give you two other quotes, and these are actual quotes that I've gotten from this presentation that I make at the Parents Night for the basketball team, for the girls basketball team. I want to have the vision of what am I all about as a coach for these ladies and for the team. And the first quote was Hebrews 12:1-2. Persevere in running the race, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. The second one is from 1 Corinthians 9. And I'll just do a part of it, 9:24-27. But just the key is, run so as to win. And then every athlete exercises discipline in every way to get a crown. And we run for an eternal crown. And so that's about really going all in, which is actually the next quote from Colossians 3:23-24. And that is, whatever you do, work at it with your whole being. Do it for the Lord rather than for men. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to dig into those quotes with you. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran along with my lovely wife, Carrie, and we're talking about All Saints Day and this idea of what a saint isn't someone who's arrived, but on earth is someone who's on the way and has in mind a vision of what arriving looks like. And the saints paint a picture of what arriving looks like. Verso l'alto, elevate, go to the heights. That's Saint, or that's Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. And we use him at the Chesterton Academy of Notre Dame to raise up a vision for kids to strive for the heights, and sports is one way to do that. And so I was just sharing these quotes, Carrie, from the parent evening. And I love these quotes. I think the one that I stole from the basketball coach at the Oaks is Colossians, the last one I read, Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with your whole being, do it for the Lord rather than for men. And you love that quote.
I just love that.
Yeah.
Because it's so tempting to have like be admired by men or to have our eyes put on, you know, the pleasing or being honored by those around us versus God. And what a different spirit. It truly is you really can sense in an athlete or in someone who's high performing where they are putting their heart or where they're receiving the honor, the fame. And it's just this slight change of attitude. But when you see that it's for God or for his glory, it is so beautiful and magnetic, because the human temptation is our own glory, our own honor, our own power, our own, you know, whatever it is. And so when you see someone who has taken that word and made it truly a part of who they are, their character building throughout the years. And it is, I think, a lifelong type of thing you would build into your who you are. It's just so beautiful. It just stands out.
Well, and what I really was impressed with when you talk about, hey, as parents, let's be strategic and let's be enthusiastic about pursuing these goals. This particular coach, his name's Andy Mattson. He was coaching the boys and the girls. He actually,
He was Annalise's coach.
And he would have the girls memorize these scriptures. He'd say Colossians 3:23. And they would say, whatever you do, work at it with your whole being. And Annalise would know it. And it gets into their hearts and into their minds. And it creates a mindset.
I think that's what it is.
And that's so powerful. And the other one was 2 Corinthians 9:6. And she would say it right out loud. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And he who sows generously will reap generously. And boy, sports, that's really true. You put in the hard work, you put in the effort, and you're going to get there. That was kind of like, we had a meeting with a trainer, dear.
Oh my goodness.
You don't even want to say it. Come on, we got to bring that up. Let's go.
I feel like we've hit this season in our life where we have a little bit more time and things are decaying.
No, we are making more time. It's
things
about choices.
Are falling apart a little bit faster. And I was thinking that we met with a trainer, but I have siblings that did this when they were our age, like 7 years ago or 6 years ago. And it is interesting to see. And the thing about this meeting is I want to work out with you. I'm like, let's come up with a plan where I help you. Like I'll be your spotter or something for your weights. Or you do your reps and then I do mine and we cheer each other on, which I know sounds kind of dorky, I guess. I don't know. I just thought it'd be more rewarding to go to the gym together. And
I never knew you had that vision.
I don't actually. It's just coming. Maybe I'm going to be totally, completely like, this is so ridiculous. However, I'm more excited about being your pickleball partner. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Yeah.
But you can have like teams and play in a league. And yeah, that'd be really fun actually to play with you versus against you. I don't like that.
Well, it kind of dawned on me that I was going to the gym to get exercise and to work out, to try to get in shape and to get in better shape. But I was only doing that because I don't have easy access to playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
And pickleball has become the sport of our generation, dear. Someone was calling pickleball by a different name. Do you remember what it was? It was making fun of the fact that we're injured.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was, but it was a cutesy. It was a play on the word pickleball with something to do with, you know.
Well, at my age, I just don't think of myself going out and playing a sport, which I think is really sad. I want this outlet of having fun. And I thought, oh, I'd love to go out and play soccer, but it probably wouldn't last more than 3 minutes. But I could do something on a court. And I love competition. It's just, I don't know. We're in a different season in our lives. It's really great. So we have a trainer to help us figure out, hey, you can't just go run 4 miles and think that
it's going to get her done. Well, and to be
everything's getting softer.
Well, and it was, I mean, I was happy trying to figure it out on my own, like to design my own workout, but I relented. I think that you're right. Like, why try to figure it out on my own? Like, oh, I know how to use this piece of equipment. Yeah, but do you really? Do you know the proper form? Do you know the proper weight, the proper number of reps, and the proper number of times that you're doing reps? And do you have a proper schedule for saying you do this part of your body on Monday and this part of your body on Tuesday? And I'm like, okay, I surrender. Let's go see a trainer. So I think that he wants to be our best friend. I just want to rent a trainer for a handful of sessions and just get dialed in and then move on. So but I'm glad we got launched, right? We got started.
Well, the part of the reason you need to do something here in where we live is it's really cold in the winter and it forces you to go inside. It's really hard to do any kind of walking or running because basically everything turns to ice or snow. And it will prevent any kind of, you know, consistent workout. And also it just gets dark earlier. So we now are going to a gym, which is fine. I would rather have a gym be here at the house. But there's something about getting out at night and we can access our gym 24/7. Same with the girls. They're at a gym too. And just be able to go out at 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, and not feel like that's the end of the day or that's when I call it, you know, quits. It's like, oh no, after dinner or whatever, we can go and work out for a little bit and then come back or early in the morning. Or, you know, I think those would be the best two times. But you really do need a safer place in a safer space at our age to prevent injury, to find a place or a type of workout that is going to strengthen us and not cause us injury.
Yeah. Well, and it's something that, again, I consider this a fruit of the Camino. Right. Being on the Camino allowed me to lose weight and to get stronger. And so I came back in better shape, I think, than I'd been in a long time. And I just had this, I refuse to go back.
Yes.
I refuse. And so I'm definitely upping my game in terms of the frequency and intensity of my working out, just so that I don't fall back. But what's accompanied that is, wait a minute. Being healthy is so important at this stage in my life that if I'm not healthy and I have some kind of medical event, that can disrupt, I don't know, everything, right? It disrupts it can, our married life, me being a father, me being a husband, me being a provider, protector, leader, all that stuff gets put at risk if I don't take the steps that I can take while I can still take them. And it, boy, I don't want to, like, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, but it's like, I'm probably close to the edge of the time where I can still launch into this, like, significantly. Right. I mean, I'm turning 60 and like at some point, like the boat, the train has left the station and I don't feel like the train has left the station yet. But if it was a few more years and a handful of pounds heavier, the train might have, well, maybe it would have slowly been leaving the station.
Mm-hmm.
So that's yeah.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, do you know the most popular Halloween candy that was purchased?
Oh, that's easy. That is so easy. Not even a question. It's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
You know, that is for like 44 states, but guess what it is in Idaho?
Oh.
It's
all
not...
right. I'm going to say a Kit Kat.
Is that your second favorite?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's... No, it's one of my favorites. You know what my favorite is?
M&M's?
Yes, peanut M&M's.
What? No yeah. way.
That's for two states. And then there's four states like Montana and the Dakotas. It's something else.
It's not Butterfingers.
No.
Okay.
Really basic.
Hershey's chocolate bars.
Yeah, M&M's. Chocolate M&M's.
Oh, chocolate M&M's.
Just M&M's, yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. Just a little trivia there. This is where you gain weight. October, like mid-October to the end of Christmas season. It's easy to put on 5 pounds. So it's good to have some things in place. My goal is just to make it to the gym 4 times a week.
Love it.
Not necessarily work out or do whatever. Just get to the gym.
Put yourself into
get
the gym.
In the gym. Yeah.
Love it. That's awesome.
Which I don't like the gym at all.
But. All right. We'll be back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, even though today's All Saints Day, yesterday was All Hallows Eve. And I think that one of the things that I've appreciated about you is the way that you approach something that's a secular holiday that has roots that are traced back to the Druids and yet is also connected to our Catholic tradition of the feast day of All Saints by turning the idea of giving candy into a place of blessing. And that's one of the great traditions or customs in our Catholic home has been surprising families with the blessing of a boo basket. And the kids have really gotten into it through the years. And I was able to, be part of that this year with you all. And, you know, I think the kids, I don't know if who enjoys it more, the kids helping you put together the baskets and the sneaking out and dropping them off, or you enjoying going out and really pulling together like things that are going to make these baskets special for people. Do you remember why you got into this, like how this even happened as a thing? Was it the wolves? Like they had one on a neighbor, like you've been booed, and then they had to go do it to somebody else.
I think it was my sister in California who said they did that where they were from, where once you get booed, you don't
receive. And get booed meant you received a basket of goodies, like candy or wine or a mixture of stuff.
Yeah. And then you put a sign up on your door saying you've been booed. So then no one else does it, but then you have to pass it on to one other neighbor. And it kind of goes from there. So like one at a time.
So it's kind of going viral, but one at a time.
One at a time. Yeah.
Like dominoes.
And I just thought that's too much. Like no one here in the Northwest knew about it. So it was just easier to do a bunch of baskets for people. I think also it actually is motivated by kids because of the idea of trying to outsmart or outplay or out-strategize a family. Some of the families we boo know we're going to do it, so they're trying to catch us. And then our kids are trying to figure out a way to outsmart them. Like last year, we booed a family and they came tearing outside their door with flashlights looking for us. And I said, let me just pretend that we're all in the car and I'll drive away. But you guys will still be up in the hillsides in the dark hiding. And so I drove the car away, and then the kids quickly went to their back door and took a photo of them all eating at the dinner table and sent it to them. And it just freaked them out because they knew that our kids were still there. Anyhow, so it's kind of that idea of trying to outmaneuver, out-strategize the people you're booing. A couple of houses we booed this year, we're up like long driveways. There's only one way in and out, and they could clearly see the car coming. So you had to go in the dark or dressed in dark clothes or race back to the car as fast as you could. Sometimes there's dogs chasing us, or a couple of people have pulled out their guns. We never got shot at, but just saying that it's more the excitement of, or the thrill of not getting caught. And then the funny thing is we've had a couple of people boo us, and the kids are just like, they're so ready.
They're minor leaguers. Yeah. To us, just, right?
Yeah. Like they'll run a few blocks to find someone or catch someone. Anyhow.
Well, what I love about that is it turns Halloween into a source of blessing and fellowship. Like kind of builds community. It builds connection. Even the way that we like celebrated Halloween the last few years.
Well, the last few years, we've always gotten together with many families.
A bunch of families come to our house, and then the kiddos all go out from our house to our neighborhood. We don't have the optimal neighborhood for candy gathering. But I just, again, I love that fact that, hey, let's make this into an event. Let's have some food. Let's have some fellowship. Let's say a prayer. And then it integrates faith into that action without having to like say we're going to completely reject any utilization of this public holiday or this public event, you know, so secular event, but let's take it and let's use it as a chance to express fellowship and faith.
Yeah, I think I've been on the like both sides of that. I've been to the point where I'm not celebrating it at all, and it's evil and it's dark. to, oh my goodness, the kids are so cute. Look at their costumes. And I think as new parents, when we had our, when our kids were younger, it was just so sweet and darling to do just fun costumes, silly costumes. We stay away from the blood and the kind of scary, ghoulish, dark side of things and try to make more light of it. I always enjoy a few candy bars in the morning, the day after, or the next few days after. But besides that, it's just sweet and endearing to see the kids dress up. And then
you just said that Halloween is sweet.
It is. It actually is really sweet to see the kids all dress up and they're so excited. I mean, what kid doesn't want to go out and get free candy? It seems kind of funny that you go around, knock on doors and get candy given to you. I don't know.
That's funny when you just say it like that.
Like
it's
that.
Like I hear it for the first time and I'm thinking that is weird.
But the nice thing is, or the neat thing is, when you do this in your neighborhood, you like sometimes are meeting neighbors for the first time, like that live three blocks up or two blocks up, and they don't know who you are. And you're like, oh, we're the family that lives down the street. We're on this street. And it is really sweet when you're in your own neighborhood area and you get to go door to door to door, as long as, you know, it's not all
as long
black.
As people are participating.
Black and deaf, yeah. As long as all the lights are not off.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been the one that
we've
stayed
had to
behind.
Hide. Yeah.
I shut down all the lights and I hide in the back room and I'll, you know, watch a show on my phone or something like that. And it's like, I stay away in Jesus' name.
Yeah. No. Anyhow, it's kind of sad now that our kids are older. I think this is probably one of the last years we'll be doing it. And I don't know. That's sad to me. When I think back at all the costumes and all the parties and all the gatherings and all the time put into this holiday, it's really a holy day. Well, the eve of All Saints Day. As an older mom, it just makes me feel like, wow, that was very rich and full and good, creative, but it's kind of past now. So that makes me sad.
Well, do you feel like there's just a gap until grandchildren come, or would you not be the one that's going to go out, walk the neighborhoods with grandchildren?
I don't know. I don't know what that'll
be like. I
guess
it's how flat the neighborhood is.
I mean, with my mom, my different siblings would just show up at our house around 2 or 3 in the afternoon and our kids would be in costumes, but that was the extent of it. My mom wasn't going out with us. So I don't know if, you know, I'm going to actually follow my grandkids around trick or treating. That doesn't sound, I don't know, but they'll probably like somehow show their costumes.
Well, you know what? It's kind of a poignant thing that this is another sign that we're moving into a different stage of our lives.
Yeah.
It's becoming a recurrent theme here, dear.
I know.
Well, it's not a bad thing to reflect on. So today, again, it's All Saints Day. It's a holy day of obligation, but it's an opportunity as well. The Lord is giving all of us an opportunity to focus on Him, realize that we're on a journey. And in that journey, there are things that we pick up and things that are important at certain stages, and then things that we let go of as we also move forward in our lives. I also feel like it's also a call to pray, because we're in the midst of just such an intense time of division and conflict in our country around the election next Tuesday, that it's definitely a time for us to be praying and saying, whatever the party, whatever the, you know, person you're supporting, our true home and our true treasure is in heaven. And if we can get clearer and clearer about, you know, the Lord and our goal being holiness in heaven, I think that will help motivate us to be praying and fasting and finding ways to be responsible so that on earth as it is in heaven, that His kingdom will come. So I'll be grateful when next Tuesday's over. No more videos and watch this and email that, text this. You know, if you don't feel that way.
No, well, we get very little political commercials or political.
Yeah, we don't really watch TV
because
so.
Our state is pretty much one-sided.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not like a swing state. But if you're in one of those states, you're exhausted probably by now.
Fair enough. Well, believe it or not, we are out of time. So thanks for walking with me through this hour. Hey, everyone, I pray God's blessings on you. Join me on Monday. Father Lewis will be with me and we'll be continuing this wonderful conversation on growing in faith. All right. God bless you.